grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for our sermon today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, time and again, amnesia victims walk the streets of cities asking, "Who am I? What is my name?" This disease, caused by some blockage in the brain, blacks out completely the past of their lives. Nothing is remembered, not even their name. Equally tragic is the story of thousands of boys and girls who, after World War II, were gathered by the Swedish government into concentration camps because they were homeless and nameless. Many of these children did not know their name or remember from what part of the country they had come. Anxiously, they would ask, "Who am I? Who are my parents? What is my real name?" And no one could come up with the answer. Nobody knew. You and I have often been asked, "What is your name?" Without embarrassment, we give our name and address, glad to be identified. However, at times we exclaim with feeling and inferiority, "After all, who am I? In this huge universe, I am but a speck. What difference does it make what I do and say and how I vote? Who am I among the millions of people on earth?" On many companies' databases, you are simply a number. Many refer to us as the masses. But then we open the Bible and hear God say to us in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, "I have called you by your name. You are mine." Even when everyone else designates us as nobodies, we can say, one by one, "I am precious, at least in God's sight. God thinks about me." As we kneel in humility at his feet, conscious of our numberless transgressions, God takes us to his heart, embraces us with his love, and abundantly pardons all our sins and remembers them no more. In wonderment we ask, "Who am I that God should love me?" Then we realize, as Paul did, that God has done all things by grace. He has sent his Son, who has reconciled us through his blood. By the Holy Spirit, we have been called into the Father's heart by the gospel. So we exclaim with the great apostle to the Gentiles, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Out of the dust of my degradation, God lifts me. Lost in sin and unable to find my way back, he tells me who I am and what my name is. This is a topic for this morning. May God bless our meditation. Firstly, what is my name? Who am I? I am God's workmanship. Who am I? God replies, "You are my workmanship. I made you." God made me a human being. He gave us bodies which are agile, graceful and attractive. The various members of our body are useful and are given a definite task to do. The hand, the eye, the tongue, each serves a specific purpose. Each member of the body is to glorify God, and it is not to be given over to sin and abuse. God gave us the eye to see the beauty of his creation, the hands to serve, and the feet to walk in his ways. We must exclaim with the psalmist, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." However, all this can also be said of the animal, the deer, the horse, the birds in the trees, the fish in the waters, have a beauty and gracefulness all of their own. None of them is without its use and value. Even the earthworm plays an important role in the creation. It loosens the earth that the rain may seep down and water the plant world. Man, however, is endowed with abilities which make him more than an animal. Man was created by God as a rational being, capable of thinking, planning, making new discoveries, and finding new ways of improving his environment. The car, trucks, and planes prove this. Furthermore, God implanted in the man a conscience, the monitor that approves some of our acts and disapproves others. God made us moral beings. God therefore demands of us an accounting of our conduct to him. This reveals to us that we live beyond this time on earth. Man has an immortal soul which gives value to life and conduct. We have a beginning but no end. We will live forever. Among the visible creatures, man is the foremost and first, subduing all things and creatures on the land and in the sea and in the air to do his will. Man makes land, water, and air his servants for better living as he passes through this world. Secondly, who am I? I am God's masterpiece. What is my name? Man. I am a child of God. So, who am I? I am a child of God's grace. When man came from the hand of God, he was perfect and without sin. His body was without weariness and pain. His conscience was pure, and his mind was given to the perfect ideals. Today this body is subject to sickness, disease, and death, and the mind is perverted and sinful, and the conscience is vexed with guilt problems. Sin has done all this to God's masterpiece. Sin has made us a dying race. Sin condemns us as transgressors of God's holy law. We offend God with our disobedience and neglect of duty. If we are honest with ourselves, we are compelled to admit that we have erred from the way and are lost in the jungles of wicked devices. However, God does not want us to perish. We are his workmanship, after all. So God found a way to restore us to his favour. His love redeemed us through his Son, who bought us with his blood and brought us back to God. This is gospel, good and glad news. Jesus did this by his active and passive obedience for us. His active obedience was that he lived a perfect life in our stead. His passive obedience was that he suffered for us. He has taken upon himself the sin of the world. To do this, he assumed the full blame of our transgressions and guilt. With this burden of sin, Jesus went to Calvary, suffered the penalty of our disobedience, was forsaken by God, endured the pangs of hell, shed his innocent blood, and by this act of love, freed man from the guilt of sin, the punishment of hell, and brought him back to God's grace. By and through Jesus' personal resurrection, God proclaimed man's liberation from the powers of darkness and made us citizens of his kingdom. In this present time, while we are still dwelling on earth, God's grace, through the gospel, tells us of our redemption, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, brings us to faith in Christ Jesus as our Saviour. This faith places us under the cross, which blots out and removes from God's sight all our sins. The holiness of Jesus completely covers us. This forgiveness is ours in Christ Jesus, by whom the debt of sin was paid in full. Once more we breathe the air of freedom. This faith, an act of God's grace, transforms us into new creatures. God restores and makes over the marred vessel, you and me. This makes us heirs of all the eternal treasures, peace, hope, and heaven with all its glory. Being at peace with God, we are unafraid of the final judgment. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Thirdly, who am I now? A child of God's grace. What is my name? Christian, a friend of Jesus. As a child of God's grace, I am a friend of Jesus. I belong to God's family and household and live in the very presence of Jesus. In this closer circle of God's family, I am captivated by Jesus' compassion and find myself happy and content in his presence. I am grateful and appreciative as daily God pours out upon me his love and friendship. In this household of God, I am a child of obedience and delight to do his will. Completely my will merges with his. I find myself happy doing what Jesus does, going about helping the needy and giving encouragement to the distressed. My entire life is interwoven with his. He dwells in me. My personality becomes one with my Saviour and friend. Paul calls himself a slave of Jesus. He realised that Jesus had purchased him with his own blood on Calvary. However, as a slave, Paul does not tremble in fear as he stands before his master. No, he comes into his presence as one who delights to serve. He is grateful that now he has eternal security. Therefore, he wants to show his appreciation by giving Jesus the best possible service. As believers, each one of us knows that he is in God's family by grace. We did not come to Jesus. He has chosen us. We are living in this Christian fellowship because Jesus came and sought us, washed us from our sin, clothed us in his righteousness, and keeps us in his grace. Scripture says in John chapter 15, verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." That is the reason why Paul says in our text, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." So fourthly, who am I? A child of God's family. What is my name? A friend of Jesus, a partner of God. In God's family, I am sharing God's world with him. God has made a beautiful world around me. The trees, the flowers, the mountains, the valleys, the oceans and rivers, the sunshine and the starry night. All these God created for me to enjoy. From all sides he pours out upon me his blessings. God does all this that I might have food, clothing, shelter and protection. However, as God shares his world with me, he asks me that I share with him my profits. After all, we are partners. God made me a trustee of all that I am and have. If God did not give the sunshine and the rain in due season, we would have nothing. God asks of me, his partner, that I give him his proportionate share. God has contributed so much and is entitled to my acknowledgement of him as the giver of all good things. Paul says that God bestowed upon him in grace. And honestly, he declares that this grace was not given to him in vain. He was faithful in his stewardship, and he gave God a complete surrender of life and service. What about us? Do we consult God in prayer? Do we worship and adore him? Do we love him with all our heart and show our appreciation in the service we give? How much we do give of our income to God that the kingdom of Jesus may be expanded. We are receiving showers of blessing year in and year out. Are we grateful and appreciative? Fifthly, who am I? A partner of God in business with him. What is my name? Faithful, a witness for Christ. In this family of God, as friends of Jesus, we are to bear witness as messengers of the glad news that Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus says in John chapter 15 and in Mark chapter 16, "And you also will bear witness, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We are to speak to others of the hope which is within us. We believe that Jesus is the one and only Saviour who has redeemed us with his own blood, that we might be his own and live in his kingdom. In his church, we are to testify and confess our faith by letting our light shine in laying aside the deeds of darkness and serving him in holiness and acts of love. We bear witness to the Saviour and his gospel as salt, as a leaven. Our influence is wholesome. The community is better because we live in it as law-abiding citizens who seek and pray for the welfare of the state. We live a decent and upright life as evidence that we belong to Jesus. Our Christian lives preserve and maintain an orderly society, and we influence others to come and join us in the pilgrimage of life to glory of God and our Saviour. Secondly, who am I? A Jesus enthusiast. What is my name? Confessor of Jesus by the grace of God. All of this is true, and this must be emphasized, through the miracle of God's grace. By grace I am a Christian. With Paul, we Christians of today must admit that God has some very poor material with which to work with and to accomplish this. God created in us a clean heart because nothing but sin abounded in us. God made us over into saints and took the disobedient spirit out of our rebellious heart. And all this was done to us who were dead in trespasses and sins. What is more, the grace of God keeps us in this saving faith through the gospel. And his grace toward me was not in vain, says Paul in our text. Humbly yet honestly, he confessed this. Once again, near the close of his life, Paul wrote to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul looks back on the road he has travelled, the service he has rendered, and humbly announces that he has not misused the grace bestowed upon him. He was faithful unto death. What about us? What a self-searching question. If this grace has not been bestowed in vain, then Christ comes first in our day, first in our thinking, and first in our service. If this grace has not been bestowed in vain, then we'll all want to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Diligently and daily we will be searching the Scriptures. Daily we will ask, Lord, what will you have me to do? The prayer door will be open at all times. Our worship will proceed regularly and in all sincerity of heart. Each week, our Sunday worship will have priority over everything else. If this grace is not bestowed in vain, then we will give loyal and royal service to our Saviour and feel that neither effort nor sacrifice is too demanding. If so, then our lives will be full and rich in joy. Our hearts will be filled with that blessedness which is found only in friends of Jesus. Who am I? By the grace of God, I am a child of God's family through faith in Christ Jesus. What is my name? Christian. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.